Our Father, we thank you again for this day. And dear Lord, I thank you so much, even now in this hour, as I hear these songs that have been picked to sing, and every song. I know this is the message today that you would have let to be preached, because you already set the table with the songs. And Lord, what a joy it is when I can go to the throne of grace and pray about messages and work on them for weeks, and then come a time to present them to the people, and then the specials, everything. No one knows what the message is going to be. Somehow or another, it just falls in line. And I just believe the Holy Spirit is in control of that. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14 with me for just a moment, if you will. We're going to read there. And while you're turning there, we live in an age that they have a lot of voices, don't we? Just a lot of voices. Think about the fellow while you're turning to find that place. He and his sister and some of his family was going somewhere, and his sister was in the back seat, and they were probably close to 30-year-old, both of them, not too far apart. But she was one of these that liked to be a backseat driver. And she was saying to her brother up front who was driving, "You better slow down. You better slow down. Hey, there's a curve up there. Watch out. Did you see that car?" I mean, yakety yak yak. That's the way she was. And he just got so frustrated with it, he said, "Man, I can't take this more." And so he put the pedal to the metal, set her back in the seat, and she was just yakety yak, "Slow down, slow down. Cop gonna get you. I hope he does. I hope he." And all of a sudden, sure enough, that blue light came out from nowhere, pulled him over to the side. When the cop got out and walked up to the car, she was saying, "I told you, you better not be speeding like that. You better not. I told you. I told you." And the cop walked in and said, "Sir, what's your hurry?" And his sister said, "Give him a ticket. He needs one. He ought to listen to me. I've been telling him." He looked in the back seat. He said, "Sir, let me see you drive. You ought to go ahead and give him a ticket. I told him he ought not to." And yakety yak yak. So he said, "Sir, how about getting out the car? Let me talk to the back to you." And he said, "I got at least a $200 ticket, I know." Walked to the back, and the policeman leaned over and whispered in his ear. He said, "Sir, I'm going to let you go today." He said, "I got one of those in my family at home." Voices upon voices. Amen. Well, this morning I want to look at something that's a very important, I think, message for our day. I don't know if any of you saw 2020 this past week. Of course, some of the things that was on there about they call it the IBF, I think it was, or IFB, Independent Fact. Maybe it's IBF, Independent Baptist Fellowship. But they had us up on there, some things. We won't go into that. But one of the things they called us, and that's, by the way, I am an Independent Baptist. Amen. And one thing they called us was the fact that we were, and when I say we weren't part of what's going on there, but I'm just saying it's a national thing, and they said we were cults. And I got to thinking about that, an amazing thing. We have a Bible that backs up everything we say. Amen. We have a Savior that this Bible tells us about. Amen. And I looked at the word cult. The word cult meant, it said this, it's the extravagant admiration for a person or a principle in life. Well, now, if they're saying, because I exalt Jesus Christ, and it fits that category, I say, okay, let it fit it. But I don't call myself a cult. I call myself a born-again child of God. I call myself, the Bible says, that we're saints if you've been born again. If you mean a cult because you follow a person or a principle, I don't mind letting this world know. For 51 years, I've followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in his principles. I believe in his word. So the world may call us one thing, but we thank God. I'd rather be called what God calls us than what the world calls us. And since God calls us who we are, I don't mind what the world says, because it's a good note that we must be doing something right. So I want to look here this morning for just a few minutes in John chapter 14. And scripture says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Verse 1, "You believe in God, believe also in me." Now Jesus Christ is speaking here. And the Holy Spirit documents what he says. Again, "Let not your heart be troubled." The disciples' hearts were troubled because the Lord's talking about leaving now. They were expecting to set up his kingdom, but now he's talking about leaving. He's talking about being killed. He's talking about some things that don't make sense. And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, watch the eyes now. There's some six eyes here. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Isn't that wonderful? It'd been one thing if he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. You'll never come get us. Not only that, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come and get you at that time. Go prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Now, this is a wonderful thing that Jesus is saying, but the disciples kind of confused about it. He said, now, where I go and the way I go, you know. And puzzly in their mind, you find that Thomas said unto him, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto them, and anyone else who would read what Jesus said and claim this, I, there it is again, am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, look with me in the book of Acts, if you will, over a few pages, and let's look in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had gone down into the temple. A lame man that was there had been healed. Now they're before the Sanhedrin court and been persecuted because they used the name of Jesus for this healing. Verse 10 says of chapter 4, actually in chapter 3 where they went to the temple, verse 10 said in chapter 4, be it known unto you all, unto you all. He didn't leave anybody out. And he said, and to all the people of Israel. Not only are you talking to the population of Israel, but everybody else is there and anyone else that reads this. He said, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucify. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way you can read into that anything else. Who is he talking about? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. So we know he's talking about this Bible calls the Son of God. And he said, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught, and you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Now watch verse 12. We've read this many times. We can quote this. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Now Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. Been born again, been saved, synonymous with each other. But here he tells us forcefully, not only did Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man come to the Father but by me, but he also verifies that as the Holy Spirit gives in the book of Acts and says there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Now, this is the question of my message today. Is Jesus Christ the only way to God? And I say to you, yes, he's the only way. But I'll tell you, there's many, many more than we who would tell us that there's got to be another way. And the reason for that is because they misunderstand who Jesus Christ is. And when I get through the day, I hope you will understand a little more about him. I understand in the Library of Congress, and I just heard recently, there are something more than 17,000 books that has to do about Jesus Christ. There's 17,000 plus books that's been labeled. That's those who just got, I guess, the permission has been a book and sold whatever. Say over 17,000 books about Jesus Christ. That's more than any other personal event that's been written in the world as far as we know. Wouldn't that be an interesting thing, you think, to a world? This man must be pretty popular. It must be something to him, that line. I also heard that Thomas Jefferson, in his day, was concerned, and he got two copies of the King James Bible. And this is according to a historical book. He wrote a book called Jefferson's Bible. I hope I can find a copy of it one of these days. And he wrote a book, and he went through everything he could find in the New Testament and took out in the Bible the virgin birth about Christ. He wanted to prove that he, according to what I understand, he wanted to prove that Jesus Christ was mere man and not necessarily God. Yet, that book that he wrote has done very little damage down through the years, because God overrides what man writes, because he's the author of this book that we have in our hand today. Now, men have tried in our day more than ever, because we're in the last days. They're trying to shut up Christ as a fool, or call him in our day as a madman or a radical Jew or a person who failed at a thing that he tried to accomplish when he was here, and he gave his life to a cause and just a cause, and that's all there was to it. They either look at him in these four or five different ways, or they will fall down and worship him as Lord and Savior. And I choose to do the last. Is it because I think it is better a story? Is it because I think it makes a little more sense? That's one reason why. No, it's because I believe the book that God preserved for us in our day, called the Holy Bible, I believe it gives an account accurately about who he is, and therefore there's a bearing witness of the Spirit of God in my soul that everything God said about him, everything Christ said about himself, everything the Holy Spirit said that was inspired came from God. And I believe that about him. So when I look at this, Jesus is being misunderstood in our world today. There's no doubt about that, more so than ever, because the media is bringing up so much stuff that's been written about him in the past that denied him. Ladies and gentlemen, most of those writings came many years after Jesus was here. This book was written not too long at the time he rose from the dead. This book is written a long time before many of the other writers' books were written, and at least it was put together. It was written, whether it was put together as a canon or not, they were already written. And so when it was put together, these verify the fact that they were there, they saw, or they heard, or would with someone that saw and heard, and the Holy Spirit used them to be inspired, this book, so we know who Jesus Christ is. So is Jesus the only way to God? Well, the question I have for people that would say there's another way is this: where do you get your answer from? If someone says, yeah, I believe there's another way, there's got to be more than just one way, then I ask the question, where do you get your answers from? Well, and they start out, this is the way I think, it's the way I believe, it's the way so-and-so, I've read this, I've read that. God is certainly a God that loves all men and all people. That's true. But where do you get your answer from? What is your absolute truth? And many times you'll find it's as wide as the people themselves as far as what they really believe. It's kind of like I read a story that was said, a politician one time met some people outside the place of voting, and before they went in, he said, listen, I've got a 30-pound fat turkey here for anybody who'll tell me why, a good reason, you're a Republican. And the first one he looked at, sir, can you tell me? He looked at that turkey, he said, I sure can. He said, you know, I'm a Republican because they freed all the slaves many years ago. He said, that's a good answer. That's a good answer, good thinking. He asked the second one, why are you a Republican? He said, well, I'm a Republican because I believe in Ronald Reagan. He said, well, no, he was a great president. That's a good answer. He went to the third, so he said, sir, to the third one, could you tell us why you're a Republican? He said, yes, sir, I sure can. He said, I'm a Republican because I want that 30-pound turkey you got right there. Well, there's a lot of reasons why people say different things. But the reason we say what we say, you're going to see this morning, is based on biblical principles. The United States of America's Constitution, you hear a lot about today and debate for and against. But in that Constitution, all religious viewpoints are equally protected. A man can come into this country and be any kind of religion he wants to, even build a church for Satan if he wants to. That, our Constitution protects that. They can do that. You're free to believe what you want to believe in this country. Yet, I want you to understand, many people jump to the conclusion that because different philosophies are equally protected, that they must be equally valid. And that's not true. Because if a philosophy is error and false, it may have the right to proclaim it in this country, our Constitution, but it don't make it valid. It don't make it true. So God has to give us the ability to go somewhere or another for this truth. our society, there is, in our society, there's an increase in opposition of what appears to be an intolerance in its closely claims. And many times, they don't show tolerance to those who believe are Bible-believing people. For instance, I'll give an example. Oprah Winfrey, back a few months ago, sometime or another, she said this about her grandmother. She said her grandmother knew that she was a Christian and that Jesus Christ was the only way. Well, I believe she believed that her grandmother was a Christian. But she said, in her case, Oprah said, I cannot bring myself to admit that Jesus is the only way to God, and so therefore I have to go my way. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God forbid I try to go my way, because I tell you, my way is not right. But Jesus said, He is the way. I am the way, He says. And therefore, to say that you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the way, I thought about when I read that article, I wonder what people would do. If I didn't believe Jesus Christ was the way, I'd be looking the way. Because I believe this life is short if you even live to be 100 years old. I believe it more now than I used to. Amen, Brother Off? Or you get older, you realize real fast. It goes by fast. So Joe Osteen on the Larry King show said, when he was asked about if Christ, he said, I believed in Christ, but he asked if he's the only way. And he said to Larry King, I do not know. Well, if I didn't know, I'd be looking for the way, wouldn't you? Because I believe that that's the only way you're going to get out of here and be with this God we're talking about. People say that we're narrow-minded when we say that Christ is the only way to God. And when they say that, I confess, if that's what you call narrow-minded, that we are narrow-minded. But we're narrow-minded because Jesus Christ himself was more narrow-minded than we were. We don't say we're the way. He said he was the way. And we're just following one who says he's the way. Why? Because we believe the documentation that God has left for us is accurate and true about him. The Lord himself said that he was the way, only way. Now, why it would be nice for us to be able to say that there may be other ways to God rather than Jesus Christ, it would be nice to do that, not to offend anyone, but you and I cannot say that. Why, preacher? That would not be true. He is the only way. And you can't believe that as a truth if you dabble with it and say, well, he is, maybe not. No, he is or he's not. And if he's not, I don't need to be standing here this morning. If he is, I need to be preaching my heart out to you and the rest of the people listening to this radio. And otherwise, we need to be sure that we understand who he is and try our best to present him best we can so they can understand him, who he is. There are probably many things that non-believers find offensive about Christianity. But the main thing and the chief offense is when we say that Jesus Christ and his extraordinary claim that he's the way, the truth, and the life, no man can come to the Father but by him. And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Now I want to give you two quick points to prove the point. Is Jesus Christ the only way to God? And when I say Jesus Christ, I mean Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only begotten Son of God. Who died, as Peter said, was crucified, and you buried him, and he came forth from the dead, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Now, number one is this. Let's look at what religion says versus what the Bible has to say, or better still, what Jesus has to say about this thing of eternal life. Every religion says this: follow me, and I'll show you the truth. Jesus said, follow me, for I am the truth. Every religion says, follow me, and I'll show you the way to salvation. Jesus said, I am the way to salvation. Every religion says, you follow me, and I'll show you the way to life. Jesus said, I am the life. So here are the first three things that religion teaches. I find that it's not just something we follow. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. And truth is right in the middle of both. With the truth, we know he's the way. And with the truth, we know he's the life. Now, when I go through this, religion says, follow me and I'll show you how to become enlightened. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. John 8:12 and John 9:5. Religion says, follow me and I'll show you the many doors that lead you to God. Jesus said, I am the door in John 10:7. Of the seven I ams in the Gospel of John, this one, when he says in John 14:6, strikes a nerve with the Jewish leaders in that day and with most people in our day who refuse to believe that he is who he said he was. Jesus said again in John 14, if you don't have that marked in your Bible, in verse 6, you need to mark it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you look at other places, in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. In John 10:7, he says, I am the door. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. When I look and I see, he says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. But John 14:6 is the one that gets the most disturbance in people when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is on the night before his death. And just in case someone didn't get what Jesus said, he added, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's authority.
Amen.
That's the truth. Not only did Jesus say one thing, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But brother, he put a phrase on the end of that thing that strengthened what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You think he's not the only way? He's the only way. And he declares that. Well, he had a little bit of an egotistic problem. Well, he's the Son of God. He can have all he wants. He's God in the flesh. By the way, his egotism is not what man's egotism is. Any ego you see in him is truth. It's absolute truth. So here, the most exclusive statement ever made by anyone. What a statement when he said that he was the way, truth, and life. No man comes to the Father by him. Again, it is the greatest offense in our modern age of tolerance. The most exclusive statement ever made by anyone has to be what Jesus said here. Now, if he is not who he said he is, he lied. And the Bible says God cannot lie. If he's not who he said he was, he's a fake. He's not a fake. A fake can't raise the dead. You know why he has the authority of who he is? Because he's who he is. That's all there is to it. And this Bible proves that over and over again. So again, it's the most greatest offense in modern age. The world outside of the church hates this statement. Many Christians attempt to back off of this at times from such a statement because when they get to that, they have no defense of what the world would throw at them at that time. So the first thing is, what a difference between what Jesus said and what religion says in this world. Now, with the second thing I want you to look at, let's look at three things about Jesus' relationship with God compared to what religion is in relationship to God. I'm talking about this serious question about if Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Is he the only way to God? First of all, Jesus is the way to God, biblically. This is what the Bible has to say. He said that he himself is the way. Now the question is, why does he say that? Why does Jesus Christ proclaim and declare in this book by God and the Holy Spirit declare that he is the only way? You read through the New Testament and you find so many verses that prove he's the only way. I don't see how anyone could even read. Well, they don't read it. That's the reason. They read everything else about it, but they don't read it. The Holy Spirit only bears witness to our heart from this book. Jesus again. The reason that Jesus Christ claims to be the only way is because he's the only person, hear me, he's the only individual person on this earth that can deal with the sin problem. He can deal with our sin problem. There is no other way, for the other ways cannot deal with our sin problem. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a sin problem as a human race. And therefore, God being who he is, sin's not going to enter into where he's at. And he's said that over and over again. But he's made a way that we who are sinners can be changed and be with him forever and ever. Sin has not just tarnished us a little bit. Sin has not just made us look a little gray. We are dead, lost in sin. We're condemned by sin. We're alienated from God in Ephesians 2. Why? Because of sin. If we didn't have a sin problem, not anybody could save anybody, I guess. But when you have a sin problem, there's no one who's ever existed since Adam except Jesus Christ that lived above sin. And he's the only one I've ever heard record or read or hearing that this is my beloved son who God says I am well pleased. He's been pleased with some people, some things they did. There's some men after his own heart, but there's not one of them that's lived in this life that did not sin. Only his son did God ever put that approval upon, that he had not sinned, and therefore he could be the supreme sacrifice for you or us. We have no way to influence a right relationship with God in ourselves due to sin. If I could even come up and couldn't understand who Jesus was, and I begin to say, I have a way, if I'd be honest and look at myself in the mirror and be honest, I'd have to say, Charlie, son, there's a lot of things not right with you. And if you can't, there's a lot of things not right. And before I got saved, there's a lot more things not right. And if you can't get them right, how in the world can you save yourself? Well, the human flesh say, well, I think I might could get a little of them. Hey, you can't get them just, you can't get 99.9% of them wrong or right and then get 0.1% wrong. For the Bible says, if you keep the whole law and offend it in one place, you're guilty of the whole thing. That's what James says. And so I'm looking at, when I look at Jesus Christ in relationship to God the Father, God establishes a relationship for us by grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How? He died for our substitute. He died in our place. He paid the sin debt for those who would believe. No one else could do that and could ever do it. He's the only one. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because if there could have been another, God would have sent him rather than his son. His son, the only one could do it. And God allowed and sent his son, you see. This is why he's the only way into the presence of God. Without the way, there's no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. Without the life, there's no living. He's all of that. He's every bit of that. Not only is he the way, he's the truth about the way, and he's the life. And that life is the life of God. What an amazing thing that somehow or another God has given us his life in us. The nature of Jesus Christ. But it's in a body that's frail, doomed, and leads us so many ways. I think we're going to be mighty discouraged a little bit. If not discouraged, certainly know that there's a lot of things we could have done and should have done that we had the power that this flesh could not kept us from doing if we'd have just yield to his spirit. We're going to come up, I'm sure, at the bema seat of Christ and see what we could have done. It won't be based on what so-and-so did. It'll be based on what we could have done. And we'll stand there at the bema seat of Christ, see our works go in 1 Corinthians 3 into the fire. We'll be judged according to what we could have done with the power in us. And he'll show us what we did do. And I got to feel there's got to be a little bit of embarrassment to think, my, look what I missed. Because I just was not yielded to the Lord in my Christian life. Other scriptures that support this truth, there's many others. 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul said there's no other foundation that's laid that's been laid other than Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, read to you, neither is there salvation in other, for there is no other name given in heaven among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, he says, for there is one God. Most people agree to that. They just can't tell us who he is. Everybody's got a different opinion who he is. But the Bible says there is just one God and one mediator between God and men. And then God answers that question. He says, literally, the man, Christ Jesus. What? He said, the man, Christ Jesus, not the woman. We've got a thing today that God's feminine. He could be a woman, or he could be a man. Then there's others, I reckon, say, well, if that be the case, he might be an animal. If you think an animal is, I mean, get that trash out of your mind, because, ladies and gentlemen, God speaks to us in a way to describe himself. And I have to do that. It doesn't mean that he has anything against the feminine. No. The women? No. He has not. He loves us. We have a place. As a matter of fact, fellas, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of ladies get to heaven one day, you're going to get more rewards than a lot of us men. Because they're picking up slack sometime when we're failing. And God blesses and gives rewards based on works. And he tells us that in his word. God does not leave us here to find our way to heaven. Jesus will see us home one of these days soon. Jesus is the revealer of God's truth. Holy Spirit, John 14 and chapter 16 tells us the Holy Spirit came for the purpose to reveal who Jesus is and tell us about him. So to believe in absolutes, to believe in absolute truth makes it possible to say, we say we believe in truth. Now the world today says they don't believe in absolute truths. Many do. But we say we do. And to believe in absolute truth makes it possible for us to say, thou shalt not steal. Absolutely. And you know our society accepts that. You steal something, get caught, you go to court and be judged on it. That's an absolute truth. Absolute truth says and reveals, thou shalt not kill. Absolutely. There's no one to doubt that. Those who reject absolute truth believe that truth is always relative to the time or to the situation or to the culture they're in. In other words, thou shalt not steal is only according to the time. Sometimes it don't mean that. If not, why is it always a law about everywhere you go? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, there are some places nowadays, if you steal, they cut a hand off just to show you they mean business. Must be an absolute truth, hadn't it? Did you know about anywhere has a death penalty except America most of the time when you kill somebody? Must be an absolute truth because they use that in their society. They believe that an act may be right or wrong or neutral depending on the culture or depending on the precise situation or time in which they live. They reply, and I don't know how many times I've heard this in 51 years, especially about the Lord. They reply, that may be true for you, but it's not for me. You ever heard that? Yeah. You might believe that, but that's not my belief. You might present that as truth, but by what you say is truth is not what I say is truth. And so when we hear that, this cannot be true in a fallen society. Truth is always exclusive, dogmatic, and intolerance of non-truth. If it's truth, it's intolerance of non-truth. If it's not, it would be truth. It would not be truth. It would not be eternal, and it wouldn't be absolute. It makes no difference whether the truth is mathematical truth or scientific truth or spiritual truth. Truth will always be in some tense narrow in any situation, in any time, in any culture that man lives in. Because truth can't be truth unless it's truth. Boy, aren't you glad you came today? That's such a phenomenal statement. Amen. I just see some of you say, man alive, I knew that already. I hope we did, but we don't practice it, do we? Truth. Where do you find truth? Well, I'll tell you one thing. You can find it in the Word of God. It makes a difference when we look at truth and error. Error will always be broad and accommodation. Hear me. Truth is not always popular, but truth will always be right if it's truth. So therefore, we have to understand error is very broad and very common. You know why so many people believe so many different religions today? Because in error, it can be broad as time itself. Because everybody agrees, well, you have your way, you have ours, everything's fine. You can't say that in truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how much you say it, 2 + 2 = 4. It can't be 5. It can't be 3. Amen? Now, we understand that. You know, I may not understand x plus y times 0 is something. I may not understand that. But I understand 2 plus 2 has always got to be 4. Amen? Someone said, I don't believe that. They told me 3 plus 1 is 4. Well, I don't know how you got it, but you got it. So truth is always exclusive, dogmatic, and tolerance in this life. There's not such a thing as one truth for you and another truth for me. There's not such a thing as truth for your culture, but not mine. Truth for your time and not mine. This is ridiculous when you think about it. Truth has got to be exactly what it is. So Jesus is the giver of life. with God, from God. John 1, 3, and 4 declares that Jesus is the source of physical life. Jesus also is the giver of eternal life. If you look with me in John chapter 3 and verse 36, here is what God told John to write. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Then the negative of that, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But wait a minute, if that's all there was to it, be it. But the writer said, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Where's the wrath of God abiding? It's on him that does not see Jesus Christ as the life. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not of the Son shall not see life. But wait a minute, the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is the giver of eternal life. It's the very life, Peter says, of God. It's his nature that he imparts to you and I. Jesus alone is the giver of life. Why? Because he's the source of life. How can he give this life just in himself? Because Jesus Christ is the source of life. How do I know that? 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. It says that he that hath the Son hath life. Where are you going to have this life? He that hath the Son. How do you get this Son? Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To be born into the family of God, John chapter 3, Jesus talking. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's fairly obvious what truth is. Now, it makes no matter how rich, how successful, how religious, how moral, how upright, how popular, how poor, how powerful we are, you can only come to God through Jesus Christ. And you do not come to him at all if you don't come to God through Christ. Now that makes us a cult to the world. But the Bible talks to us about being a child of God. Oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us in 1 John, that we should be called the sons of God. What an amazing statement. This is not arrogance. This is not an arrogant statement. This is just plain, old-fashioned, biblical truth. There's no room for human achievement. There's no room for human improvement or lesson to learn to become a child of God in the sense of what we can do in our own self. We just accept Jesus Christ as who he is and what he claims. He claims the way to God. He claims the truth about God. He claims the life available only in God. Jesus did not say that he was one of many ways. He did not say that there's other ways than one. But he did say verbatim, according to the Holy Spirit of God, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Our challenge today is to accept Jesus Christ as what he claimed to be. He said of himself, and later in Acts 4:12, the Holy Spirit verified that to be true. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So without him, there is no spiritual life. How do I know that? John 3:36, I read to you. You want to write it, mark it. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, and the wrath of God abideth on him. So when I read this, according to God's word of the Bible, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to God except through him. According to Jesus Christ himself as the Son of God on this earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. According to the Holy Spirit writing, the inspired word of God's word, and you can go through the New Testament and find this over and over, emphasis of who he is, there is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. So I have the Trinity that verifies what is written in the Scriptures about who Jesus Christ is. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you, it may be call me anything and call us anything the world wants to, but one thing is for sure, what God says is good enough for me. Amen. Somebody said, well, my God has told me something else. Well, if you feel good about it, and I say the world feels good about that, help yourself. But the God that I know of this Bible and 51 years of studying this book and understanding in these days how much is against God, this book still has the truth in it. It's absolute. And I'm sorry if this world says that we need to be more tolerant. Our Constitution of this nation gives us a right to preach Jesus Christ as the only way to God. It protects us for that. Wonder why we don't do it more. Why is it most of us never witness a bit each week, never pass out a tract, never asked anyone, have you ever trusted Christ? Wonder why we don't become the ambassador God says we are to be, to talk to people about the Lord? Well, I'm a little bit afraid. Aren't we all? Hey, I'm not. I tell you what, the truth. My knees shake all the time. Why? There's a fear, especially when the world seemed to be so against us. But at the same time, you know what Jesus told us, folks, we were saved? The world don't hate you. They hate me. And the reason they show their hatred, they can't see me, so they take it out on you. That's what Jesus said in John. So you and I have to be the vessel. You know something? There's a kingdom that Jesus is setting up that the world can't see. We're beings in that kingdom. And one day when he comes back, then God will manifest his kingdom in reality. Now he's showing it through faith in reality as we serve him. But the world refuses that. But he's developing a kingdom in our heart now that one of these days he's going to reveal in reality when Jesus comes back and sets foot on this earth. And by the way, he's going to set foot on this earth one of these days. You Christians, you know, you just got this fantasy thing about Jesus Christ. You give him more credit than he deserves. No, we don't give him as much as he deserves because he's the Son of God. So this morning, if you're not saved, is Jesus Christ the only way to God? Absolutely. I challenge you to read the scriptures, and every time you find it, God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, or something the Bible says about who he is, write it down and see how many pages you have that tells us who he is. If you don't know him as Savior today, there's no way you can be born into the family of God without Jesus Christ. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see nor enter into the kingdom of God. Been born again? You don't find that in religion. Look anywhere you want to. There's no other terms of being born again in religion. But you find it in this Bible, which has to do with Christianity. It takes a birth in this world physically. It takes a birth in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, to have eternal life. And I pray today, maybe somehow or another, we've seen a little more about the truth and reality of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these people that have been so kind to come here this preacher preach. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God we have to go to. Dear Father, please bless what's been said today. Holy Spirit, John 14, John 16 teaches us that Holy Spirit's job is to exalt Jesus Christ. Our Father, you said in Philippians that you've given a name above every name. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that he's your son to the glory of God. Dear Father, we understand that. We're glad in time now we've done that. We who name Christ as Savior. We confess that you are the Son of God. We confess that he's the Savior. He's the Messiah that Israel is looking for. He's the Savior of the world, Jew and Gentile. He's the only begotten Son of God. Holy Spirit, we know that why God used it, we don't understand. One day we will. But you have chosen to use God's people for the Holy Spirit to reveal truths to be the mouthpiece. No one of us ever heard the Holy Spirit speak verbally. But he inspired this book to be read, and this is God's holy word, so that when we speak, we have a base to speak from. Someone said, well, everybody can make the Bible say anything he wants to. Lord, we're not trying to make the Bible say anything we want it to. We're trying to reveal what we feel you've revealed to our heart to tell this world in a loving, sweet kind of way. Help someone see that today. And all the mess that they hear and all the voices they hear, all the religious ego trips that people have today, help someone see who Jesus really is. And from the scriptures, God speak to their heart and they'd understand for the first time maybe in their life just how this works in the family of God. And we'll thank you and praise you for that. And there, Lord, the same power is there to save us, the same power to keep us, and to help us until we get home in this far journey place called time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.